What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
What is Toyota affordability? It's buying smart. Right now, your local Toyota dealer has great deals available on some of the most reliable trucks on the market, like the off-road ready Tacoma, rugged full-size Tundra, and the legendary 4Runner, each with the space, tech, and features to handle it all, from the worksite to the trails. It means driving for less, with efficient hybrid options available, extending your overall driving range, and delivering great MPGs, meaning bigger savings at the pump without sacrificing power. And it means trading for more. The Tacoma and Tundra are ranked number 1 and number 2 in resale value over all vehicles according to Kelley Blue Book, which can mean thousands more than average when it's time to trade in. That's Toyota affordability. Buy smart, drive for less, and trade for more. Shop Toyota.com or your local dealer for deals and details. Vehicles projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota brand average resale value is 53% versus the average vehicle at 45%. Toyota, let's go places.
And welcome to After Hours. Good stuff by Mitch once again. Mitch Holtus, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Jay Binkley, Nick Price, male friend, old Mr. Jefferson's.
Bro-tendo.
Jefferson's Wing producing. What's up, my man?
Oh, man, you know, just getting over the loss yesterday, but it's been a pretty nice Monday so far, and it's even better when I get to hang out and see you.
Dude, you were jonesing pretty hard after the game, huh?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it definitely was.
Did listening to Mitch help you?
A little bit.
Did it help console you a little bit?
I think that the biggest thing for me is that I just kind of discounted the fact that Buffalo was also probably going to play their best game, and they were going to be there and ready for the moment.
You know what's wild about it is, so the Chiefs are playing well. They play a team that was, let's face it, they were desperate as well. Because you look at the grand scheme of things, if they have any dreams of getting the one seed back again, or even winning their division, seeing as they're in second behind the Patriots. But here's the deal. It was a road game, and you lost in spectacular fashion. It was not a good game by the Kansas City Chiefs whatsoever. I mean, there was really nothing that went well. But said all that in a road game, and you lose by 7 and a chance at the end of the game to come back and at least tie it up, or if you went for 2, go for it. I know you don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. No one wants to hear it. It's like the Chargers game came down to a few plays, the 3rd and 14, and Herbert scrambles, picks up that first down, or the Eagles game where the ball bounces off Kelsey's hands and they pick it off, or the Jacksonville game, which really sticks in my craw still to this day, that the loss to Jacksonville, because that sucked. Because now Jacksonville's ahead of the Chiefs in the standings. They have the seventh seed, the Chiefs the eighth, because head-to-head they beat them. So all that considered, Nick, do you look at it at all saying, well, we were right there, or you passed that? This team's been the Super Bowl five the last 6 years. You don't need almost wins anymore.
I don't think almost wins really do it for me at this point, Bank. But I will say that when you looked at the schedule, you know, we always liked, when do they release the schedule? In May. Right? So the schedule comes out and you see, ooh, playing on the road, week 9, Buffalo, CBS, game of the week, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. You always knew that was going to be a tough game.
Well, and you're used to losing this
in the
last five
season,
straight.
You know, and so if you were to, you know, if it takes losing in the regular season for the Chiefs to just go and beat them in the playoffs again, I'm cool with it. But overall, this is definitely one of those ones on the schedule that you thought was probably going to be a loss going into the season, or at least that it was a really good chance that it was going
to
be a loss.
But they had to make up for some of the other ones. It's clearly that Jacksonville game you thought they'd win.
Yeah, you should have won against Jacksonville. And, you know, Philly, another toss-up game, but you'd like to think that you'd take that game against the Chargers too. So, I mean, they're sitting at 5-4. They got some work to do.
No, they have work to do, but look, if you look at the standings, though, I know it's not, as the Chiefs sit, is the eighth seed right now. You need to be in the seventh, and Jacksonville's ahead of them again. According to the head-to-head, they, of course, beat them. But you look at some of these other teams that are just miring around, and the Chiefs are just right there. Because are you really scared of the teams that are below you? Now, do I think Jacksonville's going to play a consistent football? No. They damn near beat the Raiders, man. I mean, that game came down to the wire till Geno Smith screwed up, or they would have lost to the Raiders. And Houston's behind the Chiefs, but they're 3-5. The Chiefs have a chance at home in December to play the Houston Texans, knock them down a peg. Then there's Baltimore. The Chiefs had the head that have the head-to-head. If Baltimore and the Kansas City ties in record, Chiefs had the head-to-head over Baltimore because of the win. And then there's Cincinnati that's just Cincinnati right now. They lose yesterday in spectacular fashion, despite the great game from Joe Flacco. They've scored 38 points in the last two games, but they find a way to lose because the defense is so bad for the Cincinnati Bengals. And, of course, they could be trading pieces because we're on the cusp. We're on the eve of the trade deadline, which we'll get to, Nick Price, because it's very important. Because I could see the Chiefs making a deal. I do think they're going to make the deal. Now, they don't really have the draft capital to do it. So we'll see. They're going to have to be creative in doing it.
They got to do something, right? I think that you just, what we've seen from this team is we've seen that they can be the best team in football or one of the top three teams in football this year, but every loss, it's always come down to the same things. It's come down to not getting pressure on the quarterback, losing in the trenches, not being able to establish a run game. So I don't think that all of Kansas City's hopes and prayers are going to be answered between now and 3 p.m. tomorrow. But something's got to happen.
No, there's supplemental pieces. And keep in mind, Buffalo's making a move, too. Probably for a wide receiver or edge. But again, the Bills are right there with the Chiefs with the lowest cap money in the NFL. But they're going to make a move because they're going to push all in. They see and realize what this team is, the Buffalo Bills. And they should. They should do that. They should do that for the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Chiefs should make a move. Now, you got to be careful in the moves you make because it could be a DeAndre Hopkins that comes in, helps them out, then you're not even really used in the postseason. And Terrell Suggs, they've done that move, and wasn't a lot of production
right,
from Terrell
Suggs. You know, Le'Veon Bell, remember that
Le'Veon Bell, but you don't get a lot of production from trade deadline moves. But if it's a guy like Calais Campbell, and we'll talk about guys later, 39 years old, still 5 sacks, you know, there's certain guys I could see him making a move for. But, I mean, yeah, you kick yourself because really you do this in May and June and July. That's how you build your team for the season. And J.K. Dobbins is a guy that they had in 2 years ago for a visit. Didn't want him. He goes to the Chargers. Had a decent year last year. Now he's in Denver, top five leading rusher in the NFL. But R.J. Harvey's there that they just drafted, so he's going to be losing some playing time. So they have, you know, multiple backs to run the football there for Sean Payton. But again, there's moves that you can make and do when you prognosticate and say, all right, we need to be a better team come forward. And I get it. Wide receiver's nowhere near something they need right now. Jalen Royals, the fourth-round pick, can't even get on the field.
Can't even see a snap.
It drives me crazy when I see Torrey Horton that went in the fifth round get two more touchdowns last night. That drives me crazy because we like Torrey Horton on character concerns. We'll put that out tomorrow through the draft. But Jalen Reynolds can't get out there. Basically, they got what they got. I mean, you're going to win with what they got. But the offensive line and the hits, 14 hits Mahomes took, that's got to stop. That was entirely too much. That threw him off his game plan. And I know it seems simple, football. You hit the quarterback. But how did you beat Tom Brady and how did Peyton Manning get beat? Constant pressure where they couldn't think and kind of be creative with the passing game. It sounds simple. Yeah, hit the quarterback, you're going to win. Well, watch the games where Brady and Manning fell in the playoffs, which was few for Brady. But watch what happened when he did. It was constant pressure, like the Buccaneers did in the Super Bowl, like the Eagles did in the Super Bowl last year. And we haven't really seen that much since the Bills did this to the Chiefs yesterday. And they couldn't run. And the Bills are 31st against the run in the NFL, 79 yards rushing. I know Kareem Hunt had a nice little game. They need more than that.
That's exactly where I was going to go with it, Bank, is the other glaring hole on this team is the lack of a running game that they have and being able to just impose their will when it comes to running the football. When you can run the football, it means that they can't just have their guys on the edge, pin their ears back, and tee off on the quarterback.
I mean, the screen game would have worked beautifully yesterday with, you know, a capable receiver getting out of the backfield with over-aggressive defensive line. That would have worked. They did make themselves up to 9th in the NFL in rushing, but they're doing it by committee. And, of course, the quarterback and Patrick Mahomes over 280 yards, a big contributor. Because you look at the box score, and you look at who's running the football or not, you see Mahomes sprinkled in with 30 or 45 yards. Mm-hmm. That oftentimes pushes them over 100. That makes a big difference as far as total yards rushing for a team.
I think that we've seen it from the Chiefs before, and what was frustrating about yesterday's game was beforehand, the Chiefs have never really had an elite running back since maybe Kareem Hunt, his
back
rookie
in 17,
year, you know, and then Jamal Charles before that, but they haven't had a really elite running back. They've always kind of done this by committee or next man up or, you know, a Damian Williams for a year or two or this guy or that guy, but what really has made the Chiefs effective at running the football is just getting creative with it and doing those screen plays, doing the jet sweeps, doing the, you know, the little short, quick passes that almost operate like a running game. They didn't seem to do that yesterday, and it allowed Buffalo to play exactly the kind of game that they wanted and just get after Mahomes and bully him all day. And that's what you saw on the other side of the ball, too. The Chiefs weren't able to stop the run yesterday for the first time in a long time.
27 games since Zamir White back on Christmas Day had 145 for the Raiders.
Unbelievable, right? It's unbelievable.
In a game that put the Chiefs down the 9-6. Remember, 9-6, guys
right.
Falling out. That
right.
Game.
And they've been one of the best teams, if not the best team in football at stopping the run for a long time now. And they weren't able to do it yesterday. And because of the threat of James Cook, one of the, you know, top three, top five running backs in football, you're not allowed to then go out there and dial up all these blitzes that Spags likes to and send pressure from the linebackers or the secondary and the things that have been able to mask a lot of the defensive line deficiencies when it comes to rushing the passer. So it was kind of a double-edged sword there, but basically it all comes back to the two biggest holes or the two biggest rooms for improvement, if we want to be nice about it, on this team, which is defensive line, not getting pressure, and not a consistent run game.
Yeah, it bothered me because the Washington game, when you go back to that, they were number two in the NFL in rushing. They faced the number one and number two teams in rushing. And we know, Cody put it on Twitter the other day, but they're facing 1, 2, 3, and 4 as far as the leading rushers in the NFL in back-to-back-to-back weeks, right? But the Commanders were number two in the NFL in rushing. That's all they could do. When Jaden Daniels is out, which unfortunately he's out because he got hurt last night as well, and he's an incredible talent, but he didn't play in the Chiefs game. So the Chiefs were able to zero in on that running game, and they stopped them to, 60 yards. Well, that was different with the Bills because Josh Allen was still in the game. So you still have to worry about Josh Allen. And the one thing the Bills haven't been doing, which I don't think a lot of people realize, they've only gone for it on fourth down 6 times. They only went for it while they were very effective on third down yesterday, so they didn't need to. They went for it on fourth down once, and they were stopped. And that's where the Chiefs are now 23.5% stopping teams on fourth down. Like, that's the biggest improvement this team has made, but it's the biggest improvement nobody's talking about because everybody's talking about the aggression from the offense and what they're doing and going for it. Yeah, they had a 4th and 17. That's fine. But get this, Nick. They're 23.5% now. Fourth down success. That's fourth most. As a defense, they face the fourth most attempts in all the NFL with teams going for on fourth down because that's how you beat the Chiefs, right? So I looked at Mahomes all the years he started, the seven previous years, and you tally them all up, the average is 57%. So it's better than a coin flip chance of getting a first down on the Chiefs on fourth down. It's been as high as almost 67% one year. And twice in those 7 years, the Chiefs have led the NFL in attempts by the other team on fourth down, right? So the key is they're going for it now the fourth most times in the NFL, but the Chiefs have slashed that in half from 57% on average down to 23.5%, leading the NFL. Like, this is a big reason why, because when a team does that, they turn it over. It's like a turnover. The turnover on downs, Mahomes gets out there at midfield or whatever. They had that one opportunity yesterday, just one opportunity the Bills gave because they were so effective on third downs. But it's infuriating because you see how good they are at stopping teams when it comes down to that on fourth down.
And that's why the Chiefs defense has been able to be so effective and be coming into this game the number two scoring defense out there, is because they're not making all the flashy plays, the big quarterback sacks and the turnovers all the time, but they're just the epitome of like a bend, don't break. And when you get into that third down or that fourth down, they're finding ways to get off the field. So, I mean, at the end of the day, with the stats so far in Buffalo's favor, the fact that this was a closer game than it probably should have been.
And they were resting too. They showed Josh Allen. There's 22 seconds left. They showed him.
Yeah.
Like, he even said after the game, he said, well, I don't know what Pat's going to do, because they've known 13 seconds. And when I got the 13 seconds yesterday, it was funny, but then they added 2 seconds on the clock. I kind of want to stay at 13 because 13's funny with the Buffalo Bills. But you know damn well when they got the 13 seconds, they're like, oh, crap.
Well, when you've seen ghosts before like that, when you've seen the Grim Reaper come and rip your heart out, you're not going to forget that. Yeah. You're going to wait until the clock hits zero.
When it's grim, be the Grim Reaper.
That's right. But, you know, I think my biggest takeaway from yesterday is this team has some holes. Yeah, they have some things that they need to get better about. But we've also seen this before where they go out and they have this big game and we all expect in Kansas City for them to rise to the occasion, and they just don't, or they play one of their worst games of the year. This has always been what happens with the Chiefs, is just wait until late November, December, get them rolling, get them healthy, and just at this point, get into the playoffs. That's all that matters.
My biggest problem yesterday is, I don't know if you noticed it much, and some of the players did mention after the game, the energy level. But yeah, I'm not saying the Chiefs weren't full of energy, but it wasn't as juiced. Maybe because they were down, and maybe when you're up, you're more juiced, but it seemed kind of flat to me. And some of the players even admitted it too. I didn't see the same energy level the Buffalo Bills had.
I wonder if that's got something to do with playing three straight home games too, and then going on the road and traveling like right before the bye week, you know, just kind of like the human element of it.
Well, now it's suck it up buttercup time, because now it's Denver Broncos on the road. And the one thing about Denver, they squawk one out against the Houston Texans, right? They scored 33 points in the fourth quarter to beat the Giants. And everybody's talking about the lucky Denver Broncos. Yeah, we can look at them as being lucky, but let's not be hypocritical either. This is how the Chiefs won last year. They won by fourth down drives at the very end of the game. They won by blocking field goals against those Denver Broncos last year. They've been in the same situation. But the thing that scares me about Denver is, and why I think that they're ultimately, that's the next best team in this division, why I think they'll beat the Chargers, because Joe Walt's now hurt for the year. I don't know if you saw that news. When he came back, remember they kicked the Vikings' ass? But when all it's out, their line is a mess. But the Broncos, they find a way to win, and that's the hard part, because they're finding that way. Good teams find a way to win at the end. Bad teams find a way to fumble it away or throw an interception and lose the game. The unfortunate part is they're finding a way to win. And that's been the Kansas City Chiefs. You find a way to win at the end of the game. That's been the Broncos this year.
That's what happens when you have great coaching, too, and I think Sean Payton's a great coach.
It's all looking at the clock, looking at the time, trusting your quarterback, even though he's not having the best of years, but he's doing fine, and their defense playing well. Hell, they held the Jets to minus 11 yards or minus 10 yards passing over in London. I don't know what happened against the Giants. I have no idea what happened to that defense at that point. They can get to the quarterback, the number one in the NFL in sacks, but the bottom line is they're finding a way, unfortunately, to keep winning at the end. Now, they didn't against the Colts because they had that penalty on the kick.
That was weird.
They should just have one loss.
They should be 8-1.
They should have the best record in AFC, because that was a screw job they got there. But regardless, you find a way to win at the end of the game. Our phone number, 913 586-7965. Same as the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Trade deadline's tomorrow at 3 o'clock. What are you guys doing? You staying a pat? You making a move? Keep in mind, they have a first rounder, a second rounder, a third rounder, two fourths because of the Tooney deal, a fifth, probably a seventh comp pick because of losing DeAndre Hopkins, or there was a Peyton Hendershot they originally, you know, sent a seventh for. We'll see if the conditions are met because we have to see if the conditions were met for it. But they'll probably end up with the seventh as well. But no sixth, so you can't really have these pick swaps, so to speak, that they like doing so much in the NFL. But trade deadline's coming. We've already seen Jalen Phillips going to the Eagles. Props, that's their second move they've made. They're making deals. With Draymond Jones, who just traded as well from the Titans away, so we'll see what happens. And Jerry Jones says he's made a trade. Did you see this?
Hilarious.
He said he's already made. Well, who? Who'd you trade? How could you know national reporters are looking at who'd Jerry trade for? Because he's been looking at some big names, right? Trey Hendrickson, Max Trotty. He's been looking at big names. My thing is this, Nick, and I need to take a break, but I think, honestly, he's waiting to see what happens tonight. Because if he wins, he goes to 4-4-1. If he loses, 3-5-1. And I have a feeling some of these trades he's made, it's contingent upon the pick that they're sending, whether it's a fourth or third, whether they win tonight's game or not, because that makes a huge difference being 3-5 or 4-4. So my personal feelings is he's waiting to see what happens tonight. He's put the proposal out there, but it's contingent upon if the Cowboys win or not, and they should win.
I think there's a handshake deal in place kind of thing, and it says, all right, we take this one tonight, yeah. Maybe we start going for it.
But to have a trade, no one knows. It's funny. But anyway, so just how much pressure did the Buffalo Bills put on the Chiefs yesterday? How frustrating was it? And what have the Buffalo Bills done to really build a roster to beat the Chiefs? Talk about that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to After Hours, Jay Binkley. James Howe. Now Nick Price stepped away. James Howe in command. And I got a new headset on. I had to borrow one. I broke mine again. Every time I swivel my chair around, like, unless I raise it up, I talked about it yesterday too. I was talking. It's like, I always break my damn headset. I did it again. Like, I should own stock in Sony. Because there's a lot. I've probably broke like five or six now.
That's funny, Bing.
It's insane. It's insane. 913-586-7965 is our phone number. Let's go to Big Al. What's up, Big Al?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Big KJ.
Good, Big Al. How you doing?
What do you call it? Depression Monday. I'm kidding. No, I'm always going to be a Chiefs fan no matter what. But sure. I tell you what, I got to ask you guys a couple of questions. One is, in reference to the game last night, like you said, I've been listening to you guys last hour or whatever, and you guys put on a good show. But I just felt like the Chiefs, you're right, weren't all, you know, I don't know if it came out flat or what the whole game, but it seemed like that, that's for sure. But I got to ask you a question. In the fourth quarter with a little over four minutes to go, right? Third down and I think 10 or 11. Why in the hell did we throw a bomb when we were doing pretty good on the pass plays, you know, on chunks?
Yeah.
It just baffled me that we, whoever made that call.
Well, the game plan was frustrating.
The double coverage, you know?
Yeah, the game plan was frustrating. Mitch Schwartz, my friend Mitch Schwartz, put a great tweet out where he diagrammed the first play of the game where it should have been kind of a zone to the outside run. Kelce had chip block. He blocked two guys, actually. It should have been where the run went, and it didn't. They weren't executing the game plan. And according to next-gen stats, you know, the Bills pressured Mahomes on 52.6% of his dropbacks, 14% higher than their pressure rate in any other of the nine matches between the Chiefs. They did the unexpected. They did the unexpected against the Chiefs, and they didn't counteract that. Like, Buffalo kept it plain and simple.
My second question, and I'll listen offline after this one, is I asked your sister your competitor station the same thing last week. I said we got a stretch of six games that are going to be real tough, and obviously we're already 0-1 out of six, right? So what do you guys think the next five games will be for us from a record perspective? I'll listen offline. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Miguel. Miguel, I think the next three are interesting games, and two of those a lot more interesting than the third. The next game at Denver is extremely important. Denver's two games ahead of you. You're sitting there. You need to beat Denver. Start winning division games. So that's very important at Denver. Can't even stress how important the game after the bye week is. Good news, it's after bye, and Andy Reid's good after byes. Then it's Indy. Everybody's favorite Indy. All the hot takes about how good Indy is. You know what? They finally played a good team, and they lost. You know, this isn't playing the Titans twice. This isn't playing the Cardinals. This isn't playing the Dolphins. This isn't playing the Raiders. Yeah, these are five of their wins. They played somebody good. They played two good teams, and they lost both of them. They lost the Rams. They lost the Steelers. So, all right, you get your chance at Indy. That's an arrowhead. And then you're at Dallas, who's got the 31st worst defense in the NFL, but they're going to make the trade move, according to Jerry Jones. They've already done it. We'll find out. But they get Dallas on Thanksgiving. But guess what? The final five games are very interesting for the Chiefs. Their first game in December, that Thanksgiving game is November 27th, right? Their first game in December, December 7th, Sunday, versus Houston. 3-5 team at home. Good defense, struggling on offense. To get Houston at home, followed by the Chargers. And again, the Chargers are two different teams. They lost Rashawn Slater for the whole year, the left tackle. And then Joe Alt slid over to left tackle.
Kills him.
He had the high ankle sprain. He came back. They destroyed the Vikings. He gets hurt again. He's gone for the year.
Mm-hmm.
So they're without their starting left tackle. Two of their left tackles for the year, they're gone. With Alt and Slater, gone. So you get the Chargers at home. So Houston and the Chargers the first 2 weeks of December, right? Then you have Tennessee at Tennessee. Big deal. They're not a good team. They fired their coach. They picked first in the draft last year. Then you got Denver at home. And that's one you want. You get them coming to Arrowhead Stadium, you need it.
Yeah, I think you absolutely
against
have
for the
to
previous 10 years before this year. I mean, it was 17-3 against them. So you get Denver, then your other road trip to end the season's at Las Vegas, Arrowhead West. Sure. So the final five games, your only two road games are to Tennessee and the Raiders, very winnable games. I mean, it's all right in front of the Chiefs. But you got to get there through this little stretch of games. And really, I considered Buffalo, Denver, and Indy kind of that tough stretch. Thanksgiving, who knows? It's a Thanksgiving game. Weird things do happen. It's the Cowboys playing on Thanksgiving, which home game for them is usually good, but their defense is so bad. I expect the Chiefs to win that game. But if they get through that game, again, Denver, Indy, then Dallas, then the December stretch. Houston and the Chargers at Arrowhead, followed by road trip to Tennessee. Denver home, finish it out against the Raiders. Very, very winnable schedule.
Yeah, 100%. Look, I'm still not completely sold on Indy. At the end of the day, it's still Daniel Jones, and I know he's been playing really well, but how long can he play that well? How consistently can he
six turnovers? Here's the thing about Daniel. He's having a great year, but do I see that as sustained success?
Exactly.
Or is it a one-trick pony or a one-hit wonder that comes out, puts a song out that's great, never hear it again. Never hear from the band again, except for 15 years later, they're singing at one of the local casinos because they can't make money at a concert. That's who Indy is to me. But we'll see. The Chiefs will get their chance for the Colts. Sunday, November 23rd at Arrowhead Stadium. Here come the Colts. So 913-586-7965 is our phone number. Let's go to Rick in Excelsior Springs. What's up, Rick?
Hey, I'd just like to call about Chris Jones. I'm not, you know, predicting gloom and doom and everything else, but is he worth anything on the trade block? Because all I've seen him do in the last four games exceptional one or two plays.
Not with that money.
Around.
Not with that money. Okay. Not with the money owed to him and everything. And they do need defensive line depth. Like, that's the last thing Chiefs want to do at this point is trade defensive linemen. I understand he's not been near as productive as he has been in the past. I get that. But you still need him. He is drawing up double teams at this point. That's huge. They did bring back Mike Pinnell for the third time as he was released by Cincinnati. That's how desperate they are on the defensive line to get more and more help for that rotation they have, especially when they lost Omar Norman Lott, their second-round pick. Losing him for the season hurt this team because it was part of that defensive line rotation they have.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, if we're going to get Mike Pinnell, that shows the desperation that we have at defensive line.
Yeah, I just think they're desperate. I will say this. Don't rule out names like Calais Campbell that I think is really interesting. He's playing for those Cardinals. right now. He's really interesting to me because it's the affordable contract of $5 million for 1 year, but which the Cardinals will be picking up half that at this point. But the one thing about him is he's 39 years old to fit right in your locker room. He would have respect of the players around him. And I said five. He's got 3 sacks on the season. But a guy that can play defensive line, he's 6'8", 315, or he can play the edge as well. But it is a guy no stranger to getting to the quarterback. Thank you very much, Rick, for your call. But, yeah, so I'm a fan of Campbell. 113.5 sacks his career. He can get to the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, he's got some age on him.
It's probably it. But you only need him for December and January.
Yeah.
And the rest of November here.
That's exactly it. That's exactly what I was going to say is this is a sprint that we need him for, not a marathon. We just need him for just a couple months. And I think that he's suitable. I mean, who else is out there? I think he's the best option that is available.
Because of money and draft picks. Again, you got to be careful with your draft picks because you end up with none. And as Chris and I were talking about character concerns today, with the draft picks, so you still need to work on defensive line in the draft. I wouldn't be shocked at all if they do that in the first round. But then edge comes up as well. So edge, defensive line, and tight end's going to need to be addressed because Noah Gray has not given you production. He has been on that climb he's been doing in his career. And that's serviceable tight end too. But they got to worry about tight end one. And there's really probably only 2 tight ends I could see even make it to the first round in Kenyon Sadiq of Oregon. And Eli Stowers at Vanderbilt. So, yeah, some interesting choices. And I think the Chiefs need to address running back as well. And I think that needs to be no lower than 4th round. One of their 4th round picks should be used on that, if not their 3rd. Not a 1st rounder, but a 3rd or 4th rounder.
I would love to see the Chiefs actually invest some significant draft capital in a running back. And I'm not I mean, I know we had Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But that was a stretch with that pick. I don't think that he should even have been picked with that spot. I believe it was 31st in the draft that year. I think that was a stretch to grab him.
Well, they needed a running back at that time. I don't like getting first-round running backs. I used to, not anymore, so I don't get it. But I understand he caught a lot of balls. I mean, he's first SEC running back to have 1,000 yards and over 50 receptions. In a year, I understand how that...
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with 3 key clean ingredients and backed by over 4 decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA, FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
What is Toyota affordability? It all starts with buying smart. And your Toyota dealer has great deals available to qualified customers on reliable cars and SUVs, including the redesigned RAV4, spacious Grand Highlander, sporty Camrys, and Corollas. It means driving for less with efficient hybrid and plug-in hybrid options available throughout the lineup, extending your overall driving range and delivering great MPGs, saving you money at the pump. And it means trading for more. Toyota is known for building long-lasting vehicles. And as the best resale value brand, according to Kelley Blue Book, your Toyota can be worth thousands more than average when it's time to trade in. That's Toyota affordability. Buy smart, drive for less, and trade for more. Shop Toyota.com or your local dealer for deals and details. Vehicles projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Books, KBB.com. Toyota brand average resale value is 53% versus the average vehicle at 45%. Toyota, let's go places.
It was kind of attractive in the past. Pro was good, so I understand why that was attractive. But what the Bills are doing is they're coming after the Chiefs, and they're doing it a smart way. Because when the Chiefs wanted to make that climb, and they wanted to take that next step, it was looking at the Patriots. The Patriots were the big team on the block. You didn't have to worry about the Broncos, the Chargers, that. You need to worry about the Patriots. Because the Patriots were the stumbling block to the Super Bowl, as they found in 2018 in the AFC title game. And Pittsburgh has always been good. And they've always drafted well. And they bring in the picks, and they just find a way to consistently win. They don't go through a lot of head coaches, we know. But you got to stop New England, which they did. And they brought in Spags, that's New England killer, that. But here's Sal Capaccio that joined Carrington earlier. He's the sideline reporter for the Bills, about how the Bills built this roster with the Chiefs in mind.
The Bills have kind of constructed their team over the last several years to beat Kansas City, and they've come close. It's been one-score games. I mean, a Stephon Diggs catch or a 13 seconds misplay, whatever, different, and the Bills are the ones coming out of those games. So it's not like the Bills know they can play with Kansas City, and I understand that they haven't beaten them in the playoffs, but it's not for lack of, you know, being blown out or anything like that. And the one thing they haven't done is to get to Patrick Mahomes. And that was the difference yesterday. They got to Patrick Mahomes. They hit him, and they were around him, and they harassed him. And that's the difference in how this Buffalo Bills team is this year versus years past. Now, if they do play in the playoffs, I'm sure the Kansas City Chiefs will make adjustments, but so will the Bills.
So it's interesting what they did and how they drafted. Matter of fact, their first five draft picks in the draft were all on defense. Like, that's what you do. And, you know, credit Denver, because in the first round they drafted Jahdae Barron, which they need because of Surtain getting hurt, so they need him to step up. He did get a pick a couple weeks ago, but they drafted him. Instead of the Raiders and the Chargers, they went running backs in the first round in Jeanty and Omarion Hampton.
Well, and it's funny, we're seeing it all across the league. It's not just the Bills, but you mentioned the Broncos and even Philadelphia. They're drafting guys and building their teams to contend with Kansas City, to try to keep up with Kansas City, to maybe even slow down Kansas City, because you can't stop Patrick Mahomes, but you can do what you can to try to slow him down.
Well, that's what you got to hope for. But, yeah, lack of life yesterday for the Chiefs. But we do have the trade deadline coming up. I am curious where you sit now. I'm curious where the fans sit now. What do you do? Again, 3 o'clock tomorrow. You might see some trades come down tonight. I was hoping we'd have one tonight coming in. Figured we might. You never know what Brett Veach is going to do, who you're talking to, the situation you want to see, and you have other teams there that probably need kind of some of the same guys, like the Buffalo Bills with defensive line or edge help. Baltimore showed up their edge with Draymond Jones they traded the Titans for. That was already done earlier tonight. So we'll see what direction they go. 913-586-7965.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
And welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, James Howell producing. Cardinals up 3-0 on the Cowboys. We'll see what this does to the trade deadline. But yeah, I mean, all those hopes and dreams. And I'm not ruling out running back. I'm not ruling out running back help, James. I know that the national media and everything, you know, said the Chiefs are only interested in defensive line. That may be true, but if they can find a back I mean, a Breece Hall, somebody like that. I mean, I would honestly love that, but it's not going to happen because of the money he wants. I mean, he's not like a rental player. He's one that wants a contract to go for the future. So maybe the Chiefs will look at it because they got other guys to pay. And I've been huge on paying Rashee Rice after the season because 2022, three draft picks you can give extensions to in 26. Like Karloff, that's why he got one, and Purdy, because they were 22 draft class. They got him in 25. And I get it. He wasn't a first rounder, so you don't have that fifth year option. But seriously, that's a guy. He lined up at eight different positions yesterday. Like, that's a dude I see with Mahomes. That's why I want Rice extended for the Kansas City Chiefs. But Pacheco's probably gone. Kareem Hunt is a one-year deal. He's probably gone.
Yeah, and he's at the end of his career anyways.
So, yeah, I mean, will they be in the market for running back? Yeah, but there's other guys to pay. Trent McDuffie. Mm-hmm. I think Rashee Rice should give an extension too. So they could do it. The salary cap did go pretty high this year. Went to $279 million. The Chiefs were expecting it to be about $270. So they got an extra $9 million than they thought that they were going to be able to spend. So they got that extra money for the salary cap. But are you still hoping for a running back, or do you think it's going to be – I do think they make a move, and I do feel it's going to be defensive line.
Yeah, I think that they might make a move. I'm not sold that it's going to be running back. I would like to see a running back, especially since we're bringing in Clyde Edwards-Helaire instead of Elijah Mitchell. Like, where is Elijah Mitchell?
They did that because the success, I guess, Clyde had better in pass pro, but the success he's had against the Bills. But the best game he had was 5 years ago, man.
Yeah.
We were freaking wearing masks, and things were closed. That was during COVID. Yeah, it's a long time ago.
If we're relying on Clyde to go out there and make some plays, obviously Pacheco is injured. If at the very least we get a running back to provide some depth because we're starting to very quickly get thin at the position, I'd be happy with it. I'm not sure there's a star-studded running back out there to be had outside of maybe like Breece Hall, but we just went over all the reasons why that probably won't work. I mean,
Kamara is also the guy I want, but he wants to drink pina coladas on a beach. If he's treated, he's done.
Yeah, that's what he says.
Now, things change. I mean, the quest for getting a ring is, you know, it's kind of appealing. He was the same draft class as Kareem Hunt. I do think Kareem Hunt's been obviously very good on the third and short and fourth and short. He's almost got a better percentage than the tush-push, 18 or 20 in those situations. But Alvin Kamara, does he still have a little bit of juice? I mean, I still think he's a 60-catch-a-year type of guy, but that's going to be short-lived. But if you want a rental, that's a rental.
Yeah, I just don't want to sell the future of the franchise on like a running back or even a defensive lineman. I'm not interested in getting rid of a higher draft pick, like a second or even third. I'm not really interested in. In order to maintain and sustain success for years to come, we're going to need those draft picks. And I'm not willing to sell the farm for this year.
Well, it's how they've built their team in the past, through the draft. That's what they've done.
Absolutely.
And again, first round, not necessarily. I do think you can pick up some good backs in this third and fourth round, those type of deals, but you got to do it earlier. I know they got Breshard in the seventh round, which they're still hesitant to use, even though his snap count was the third most snaps he's had, but it's still, he only touched the ball four times in the game. I feel like you could have sprinkled in the run a little bit more against Buffalo. Would have taken some of the pressure off of Patrick Mahomes.
I thought it was a good opportunity with Pacheco out. Like, I really thought we were going to see more of Breshard Smith this last week.
Love to see Buffalo again. You probably will, because that'll be a team that you'll have to beat in the postseason. It's not the same Bills team. I think they have a lot of deficiencies, but they still got a damn good quarterback.
Yeah, and I also think that there's a little bit of a blueprint on how to beat the Chiefs. Look, the Bills beat the Chiefs the same way the Philadelphia Eagles
pressure
did
up front. Yep. And the line was, I mean, you had Jalen Moore left tackle. Your normal tackle is, of course, Simmons, who's back with the Chiefs now. He's back at the facility. So I assume he will be going after the bye week.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it would be different if he came in during the middle of a game week or something like that. I think it still would have been Jalen Moore, but having 2 weeks. Yeah. And Juwan Taylor's ankle, still to find out more about that, but I can see Jalen Moore over there. But all of a sudden, with Trey Smith not 100% at this point, and then Kingsley got hurt for just a couple plays, and Caliendo had to come in. But but the offensive line was banged up, and Buffalo took advantage of it. They took advantage of where the Chiefs had a weakness, and that was the offensive line in that game. And the Chiefs, I don't think, took advantage of where their weakness was, which was stopping the run.
Yeah, well, and kudos to their coaching staff, to Buffalo's coaching staff, because they did exactly, they had a great game plan. They were able to generate that pass rush against a banged-up offensive line. So, I mean, you got to give Buffalo credit.
Yeah, I'll give them credit for this game. I know it sucks, but regardless, there was something else, James, that drove me nuts. And maybe this is an old man take. I'll let you decide if this is an old man take or not. Or the text line, 913-586-7965. But it involved Monday Night Football last night. And it's something that drove me absolutely positively nuts. I'll let you decide next. Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, James Howell, producing the operation. Got EC's new headsets, James. I can't believe I keep breaking these things, man. I stole them away. I can't. The connector's gone, so I can't use them again. You know, it sucks.
You're going to have to, like, get a warranty on them or something.
Yeah, I just looked them up on Amazon. I can get them. Usually went to a store or something. Screw that. I just ordered on Amazon. It's like next day delivery.
Yeah.
I can have it by 4 a.m. tomorrow.
Dude, I think Amazon's going to put, like, Walmart out of business.
Well, it's just easy to do. I can do it from right here, so I did.
It's so easy.
It's done.
Done. The next day, get it, you know, maybe even a couple hours sometime.
First of all, props to you for driving all the way out to Belton for tacos. You're going to bring tacos in?
Yeah.
Because we talked about that taco truck. You said I had to try these. So props to you for trying. Well, that's a long drive for you, wasn't it?
No, it's not bad. I'm in Grandview.
Oh, okay. It's not far then.
Yeah. Yeah. I was already door dashing out there in the Belton area anyways.
So you weren't far from there then?
No. I was in the area and I just remembered our conversation. I was like, man, I'm going to bring him some tacos.
Well, props to you, James. Props to you. All right. Tell me if this is an old man take or not. Did you watch Sunday Night Football?
I did watch the first half.
It was these primetime games this weekend haven't been that great. The highlight of the weekend is clearly the Bills and the Chiefs. And then Sunday night was the Commanders. But did have Jaden Daniels, at least, till he got hurt, unfortunately, against the Seahawks. And so it was a blowout. The score at one point was 31-7, ended up being 38-14. I mean, the Seahawks were all over them. So, you know the new deal, what players like to do now. When they get a fumble or an interception, they run all the way to the opposing end zone, right? And we saw this in the Super Bowl with the Chiefs and the Niners. Remember they would pose for pictures and everything, you know, pose for the pictures and how that turned out, you know? Okay, there's a time and place. I don't think this is an old man take. I'm all for guys celebrating whatever they want to do, but there's a time and place for it within the confines of the rules. But when you're down 31-7, 4.5 minutes left in the third quarter, and you pick off Sam Darnold, who's basically been kicking your ass the whole game, and you make an interception, like, do you need to run that back to the end zone and pose for the fans when you're getting destroyed? Like, seriously. Like, it's fun if it's, like, within a game and it's a close game, it's a huge turnover. But when you're getting rolled and a quarterback is destroying you during the game, is that one you just sit out? Is that one you just, you know, put the ball down or hand to officials and just go over there and regroup?
100%.
Okay, so that's not an old man take.
No. I could see why some people might think it would be. But the celebrations now are getting insane and getting out of control. We're celebrating everything. And like you said, when you're down like that, I think a celebration kind of gives the team energy, hypes them up, builds that momentum a little bit. And what are you doing when you're down by a whole
When you're down like that, especially when Sam Darnold was like setting records with his, you know, 16-16 there. He was destroying the secondary and you pick him off. Okay, he made a bad throw. I understand that, but man. Don't do it when you're down 31-7. It honestly looks silly. It makes you look dumb.
He's whipped your ass the whole game.
It does. It drives me nuts. And I brought it up on a previous show, the college football tauntings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, celebrating plays used to be like a really good play and someone would celebrate. Now it's just every play. Every tackle, you get a pose or whatever. But they're calling taunting more. Like, don't look at that player you just did because they're going to call you for taunting and it's going to hurt your team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I go back to Mizzou when they were playing Alabama. They scored a touchdown. They were stopping Alabama, made a great play on second down. It's where the guy caught the ball. They knocked him back through two defenders, made a great play. Somebody, Zion from the defensive line, came over and posed in front of the guy that was tackled. Wasn't even in the play. And instead of third and 15, it was a first down. And then Alabama, like you get a free out in baseball, comes down and they score. And that sucks, but they're going to call taunting. Now, they're not really consistent about it because I saw Arch do it against Sam Houston and hadn't won a game, and he posed on the end zone looking straight down at the guy, and they didn't call it. But that's – just don't do it because you might get called. Here's the thing. By you celebrating every play, you're hurting your team. And when you give a team a free first down because of you wanting to celebrate, here's the thing. Your job is to make tackles. Like, that's your job. That's what you're supposed to be doing. I mean, I gave the example of accountants. Do they get on their desk and like throw the paper clips up in the air and say, damn, look at the spreadsheet I just did? You know, do they do that? Do doctors throw this stuff in the air and say, man, this heart surgery was badass? Look at me and point to the back. Look at me. Look what I just did.
Yes.
I just saved Joe's life, man. No, your job is to make tackles. I get it. Like, I understand celebration, but go celebrate with your teammates. Go over to the sideline, celebrate with them or celebrate with them. Because the minute you look at them, you're going to get taunting, and then you're going to get called. Here's the thing. Whether you believe in it or not, celebrating or not, I don't care. It's not within the rules because they're calling it. But anyway, when you run all the way to the end zone and celebrate an interception down 31-7, that looks foolish. Old man take, maybe so, but I don't get it. I don't get celebrating.
It's every freaking play now, man.
Come on, man. Just settle it down. Just settle it down a little bit. Again, if it's a close game, I get it. That's what they're allowing you to do. Go do it. You know, go hit the celly in the end zone. Go do it. I get it. But down 31-7, man, it's clown stuff. It's 100% clown stuff. Anyway, pretenders or contenders, a couple teams in the NFL that had really, really high expectations were absolutely embarrassed yesterday. And we'll talk about those teams next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back. 8 o'clock hour. After Hours, Jay Binkley, James Howell producing the operation. Text line 913-586-7965. The Jay Southland Tow Service text line says someone's out doing DoorDash right now listening to everybody. So, hey, props to you for listening. I know a lot of people in their cars, man, when they're driving down I-70 in their trucks, they're listening to sports talk. They want to hear about the game last night. All the police officers, you know, driving around, sitting in their cars listening. Shout out to you guys. But shout out to anybody that's seeing DoorDash makes me hungry, man. For some reason, like doing night shows makes me hungry. It just does.
I had to pick up some food before I got here.
I did not.
Yeah, I had some Long John Silver's. Nothing real great.
I had sliders.
I tried to have tacos.
I know you did, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Jackson, that was producing for me last week. We had talked about like chili the week before because Dusty had made some chili, and it was very good. And because Dusty brought some in, he's like, here's some chili, try it. So I tried it as a top two chilies, man. It's really good stuff. Dusty can make that. All right, now. And then Jackson brought in like Fritos with it and cheese and everything. Yes. He wasn't jacking around. And it was very good. His dad is a dad's recipe. His dad's like a champion chili maker. It's good.
Wow.
But tonight, you know, you talk about these tacos, maybe hungry. I'll be honest with you. I'm a bit hungry. And I see that DoorDash and I didn't do it. I will say this, though, on the not this break, but earlier on, I made a couple more calls to liquor stores because I'm still searching for that. Well, it's winter beer time, man. It is.
Yeah.
I mean, you're past Halloween. It's winter beer time.
Yes, sir.
And you know what? These trucks are late on it, man. These liquor stores don't have it yet. I've been promised maybe tomorrow. There's several I call. The Nutcracker Boulevard's out. I like that a lot. But I want Sam Adams Winter Lager, and I want Mother's Winter Grind. And every time I call, I mean, they know my name by now, too, because I call so damn much. I call every day. Hey, did you get that truck in yet? And then Dustin came in here to work on the computers, and he said he's kind of a truck chaser. He goes in and buys it all. See, that's the problem. People go in and buy it all. Uh-huh. I guess I'm that guy, too, because I'll go in and buy it all. But regardless. 913-586-7965 is the phone line. Let's go out to Lone Jack. All the way to Lone Jack, talk to the mayor of Lone Jack, Neil. What's up, Neil?
Hey, Jay. How's it going, brother?
How are you, bro?
Oh, I'm frustrated. First of all, I don't think it's an old man take at all. I think it's stupid, especially when it's like every single time you make a pick, like, okay, celebrate, you know, high five, jump up and down.
I mean, get off if it's a 7-7 game or something, or 14-7, whatever, it's fine if it's, something that swings the momentum. And, hey, I'm for anything to get your team fired up and emotion, right? But when you're down 31-7 and having your dog kicked, don't do it, man. The text line did say this, though. He said, the 8913 chimes in, Neil. He said, not going to lie, when I have a program complete for the first time with no errors, I do a dance. This is from a software engineer, they said. So software engineers, I guess, do celebrate after completing a task.
Okay. Well, hey, you be you, bro. Have fun. More power to you. That's great. But I just think I think it's really dumb, like, especially when you got to take an entire entourage with you to the end zone and get in the camera.
It's like Barry Sanders, man.
Jump up and down, high five, slap each other in the ass, and then run off the field. I don't think you have to run to the end zone every single time.
Barry Sanders was asked why he never spikes it. He always said, because I know we'll be back. Is that not a drop the mic moment, a badass moment right there? I know we'll be back. That's why I handed it.
You've been there before.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Just like as a Chiefs fan, you know you'll be back. But today really sucks.
Well, every time I drive through Lone Jack, I get out of the car and do a little dance. I went through Lone Jack not too long ago. Yeah.
Gotta do the icky shuffle every time you hit Highway 150.
Why?
Right there in Lone Jack. Gotta hit the Phillips 66. You can actually get alcohol there. We got a Casey's now. You can't get alcohol at Casey's, but you can get pizza. So you go to pizza. You go to Casey's to get your pizza, and then go to Phillips 66.
Wait a minute. I know you want to talk about Chiefs, but let's talk about this for a second. This is a serious issue. I love Casey's pizza. I mean, their breakfast pizza is outstanding. Have it any time. I mean, it'd be great on like Thanksgiving morning or Christmas morning. You kidding me? That's a good idea, by the way. I'll probably go do that.
That's a great idea.
But they don't have liquor?
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure they don't.
But James, can you check on this for me? Because is this true or not?
They have beer.
They have beer. Okay, well, beer's fine. I mean, sure, it's a convenience store. You're not going to get it. I mean, Quick Trip, I think, has some liquor, but
at Phillips 66, you can get actual alcohol. Real alcohol.
What do you want, Neil? What are you drinking?
I'm a bourbon guy typically, but I don't drink that much these days. Honestly, I'm like a tailgate drinker and a social, happy hour drinker.
Did you drink during that Bills game?
Yeah, I probably should have been. I wouldn't have been as pissed off. Maybe I don't know.
Why are you pissed?
I just think they had a terrible. Obviously, in general, I think the game plan offensively was terrible. They did not adjust offensively. I thought that was terrible. I think it was the same. Similar situation to the Super Bowl. When you're having problems with the offensive line, you got to make adjustments. And I don't think they made nearly enough adjustments. Patrick, I love him to death, love him unconditionally. I think he had a terrible, terrible game. I think he had an absolute horrible game. I don't think he made any adjustments when they're pass rushing and they're getting to him. Throw some screenplays. Get the ball out fast. They were getting the ball out fast early in the game, and then all of a sudden it seemed like all he wanted to do was throw a home run every single time.
Well, I think that comes down to the game plan, too. You got to put him in positions to win. And granted, he's been around long enough, you'd expect him to do that, but I'd put him in positions to win. Getting hit 14 times, that wasn't optimal. But his completion percentage was the worst of his career. He had a terrible, terrible game, yet there he was at the end with a chance to win it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, no matter, even when he has the worst game of his career, we still have a Hail Mary chance at the end, at least. But I'll tell you, the interception, I thought, you needed 10 yards, Patrick. Why are you throwing it 40, 50 yards downfield? It was third down. It wasn't fourth down, that play, right? When he threw the pick? That was third down, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So you need 10 yards. Why is he throwing it down the field like a Hail Mary? Like, just throwing it up for grabs. Like, come on, bro. Like, you're better than that. Like, you're Patrick Mahomes. You're the greatest quarterback I've ever seen in my entire life. And I've realized, obviously, we're still chasing Tom, and we're still chasing Joe Montana. I get that. He's the greatest quarterback we've ever had in our
family. You're only chasing Joe with the Super Bowl win. One. You beat him in postseason wins.
Precisely. Let me ask you, what's your level of frustration, 1 to 10, with this loss? What's your level?
Well, going into the year, like before the year when the schedule came out, you look, you can't win them all. So this was a possible loss you had. Although with the way the Chiefs were playing and the way the Bills have been playing, the fact that Patriots beat them in Buffalo, the fact that the Falcons beat them, and the Falcons were hammered by the Panthers 30-0, and they've been so inconsistent. I like the Chiefs to win this game by three, to be honest with you. I thought the Chiefs would win this game going into it.
I think everybody did. I think everybody on the entire radio station all week was talking about how we're poised to win this game because we're more complete than they are right now. We're healthier than they are right now. We have a better offense than they have right now. And it was like complete opposite.
But that's the NFL, though. That's the NFL, Neil. That's the weird crap that happens in this league.
If I could have another couple minutes, like all week, like I said, everybody's so confident, including Bob. I had a little chat with Bob this morning. They were actually taking calls. Bob and Dusty were calling me down bad and making me, look like a psycho crazy person this morning. And I understand it's good radio. It's good fodder to have one person yelling and screaming. And the next person comes in and they're more level-headed. I get that. You want to take both sides of all the calls and stuff like that. So they had me on. I was ranting and raving for a little bit. I don't know if you heard it. I thought, Bob, did you hear that this morning at all by any chance?
I did not hear your call, Neil.
No. So I was basically making kind of the same points about how Patrick and Andy really screwed this game up, and I thought Patrick was really bad yesterday, and I don't understand for the life of me. Like, for instance, like the end of the first half, that play, the Hollywood Brown, that should have been a touchdown. Like, 9 times out of 10, Patrick throws that ball out a little bit further, hits him in stride, it's a touchdown, instead of Hollywood having to wait for the ball and then falling.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with 3 key clean ingredients and backed by over 4 decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grunes. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
What is Toyota affordability? It's buying smart. Right now, your local Toyota dealer has great deals available on some of the most reliable trucks on the market, like the off-road ready Tacoma, rugged full-size Tundra, and the legendary 4Runner, each with the space, tech, and features to handle it all, from the worksite to the trails. It means driving for less with efficient hybrid options available, extending your overall driving range and delivering great MPGs, meaning bigger savings at the pump without sacrificing power. And it means trading for more. The Tacoma and Tundra are ranked number 1 and number 2 in resale value over all vehicles, according to Kelley Blue Book, which can mean thousands more than average when it's time to trade in. That's Toyota affordability. Buy smart, drive for less, and trade for more. Shop Toyota.com or your local dealer for deals and details. Vehicles projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota brand average resale value is 53% versus the average vehicle at 45%. Toyota, let's go places.
Oh.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Well,
that was the key part of the game, because it's just like playing Madden. You score at the end of the half, then you get the ball back. The game went perfect because Chiefs win the toss. They defer. You put the defense out there, get the stop, but you get the ball before half, and then you get it right after, which is perfect. They just weren't able to capitalize on it. Just the 3 points.
Exactly. Same thing with the Jacksonville game where we screwed up and did the same thing, where we screwed up and didn't score in at the end of the half and then the beginning of the third quarter, same thing. And I just, for the life of me, like I said, 9 times out of 10, Patrick makes a throw and hits Hollywood Brown, and that's a touchdown. And Carrington was talking about the scenario at the end of the first half today, making points about, you know, bad play calls and what they should have done and whether or not they should have gone for it on fourth down. In my opinion, you shouldn't even have to make that decision, because if Patrick makes a better throw in that play to Hollywood, it's a touchdown, and we don't even have to deal with it.
Well, it was bad, but his defense, I mean, they were all over him, man. He was having to look to his left, to his right, whatever. He was getting hit. I mean, he had to figure out where Bosa is, because Bosa was just owning that line of scrimmage. But, yeah, it should have been more crisp. It sucks. I will say this. He's got, 5 games total in his whole career where he's lost by more than a touchdown and a 2-point conversion. That's still pretty good. It was a bad game. I mean, it was a completely bad game, but yet they had a chance. I mean, it wasn't like the way they're talking about it nationally, you would think they were lost 42-3.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I love him unconditionally. Without him, we don't have 3 Super Bowls, 4 Super Bowl total, 4 total Super Bowls and 3 in the last 5 years.
5 of the last 6.
He's incredible. He's amazing. It's a bit crappy game. And obviously, he's not the only one to blame. Chris takes a lot of blame for the game. Andy takes a lot of blame for the game. I don't know what's going on, Chris Jones. I mean, it's ridiculous. Carrington talked about him like kind of loafing and cruising through the season. I hope and pray that's not the case. I love that guy too, I don't know what's going on there. He deserves some of the blame. But Patrick, as the leader of the offense, as the leader of the team, I think it falls on his shoulders to be better in that situation, especially in such a huge game. Anyway, try to listen to Fesco this morning. If you get a chance, listen to the podcast. Let me know, because I want to know what your opinion is of it. Bob got all mad at me.
They love you, man.
Yeah, no, Bob was, they were both like calling me down bad.
They love you, man.
Listen, I know they love me, but Bob got a little defensive. He got, and I didn't mean to like I wasn't trying to call him out necessarily. I just wanted to point out one particular thing. And if you get a chance, listen to it, because I'd like to get your opinion later on about it.
Okay, Neil. All right, my friend. Thanks for calling us. Go ahead. Go drink a beer, man. Or grab some bourbon.
For
go
the
relax.
Record, Casey's does have liquor.
Let's see. Oh, they have liquor.
They have liquor. I'm seeing Fireball, Tito's, Captain. Maybe it's just the Casey's he's at.
The Lone Jack one?
Yeah. But there are some Casey's that do serve up some liquor.
But everybody loves Neil, man. People get agitated sometimes. I get it, man. Go have a beer. Go have a pedicure. Go do something.
It's all good.
Go pet
brother.
A dog.
Yep, it's all good.
Well, I didn't get to the contenders or pretenders. We'll do that next. Man, I need Dallas to win by 2.5. What's going on here? Down 10-7 to the Cards and Jacoby Brissett. Come on, man. So you going to make some chili down, James?
Yeah, it's that time of year.
It's that time of year.
If Dusty's doing it and he's showing off like that.
Oh, you know what, though? I mean, Dusty's got some damn good chili, man.
Well, I'm competitive.
Okay.
So, you know, I gotta show up, you know.
We should do a 96.5 chili cook-off.
Absolutely.
Well, there's a few that could do it. I mean, Alex sure as hell is not doing it. Cody could. Cody could enter. Cody likes to cook and stuff. I'm terrible at it. I suck, so, but I enjoy dining on it. I do. I'm really bad. Well, like extremely bad. Like embarrassingly bad. I'm Arizona Cardinals bad.
You're really good on the radio, though.
Yeah, but I'm bad at chili. I'm bad at cooking. It's debatable. My mom says I'm good. But you, Dusty, Cody, Jackson's dad. He's good, though, man. He's good. So you called Casey, or you checked on Casey's during the break, and they do have liquor. I figured they did, man. Maybe they just don't have it in Lone Jack yet. Yeah, but they had beer, he said.
Yeah, they got beer, hard liquor. They've got, like, fists and shots. They've got wine.
They got everything you want,
they got seltzers.
Enough of that. We don't need seltzers.
Yeah.
Those should be outlawed, really.
Yeah, to each their own, I guess.
Do you like seltzers, James?
No. I don't even drink.
Well, so what do you... Yeah, so get rid of seltzers.
Yeah, yeah.
Just stick with beer, you know? The text line tells me this. They said, bank connections at Price Chopper says Wednesday's expected drop of winter grind. Depending on where you are, it's either Wednesday or Friday. See the text line looking out for me? They are. I can't wait till Wednesday or Friday. Man, I want this stuff tomorrow. I got Mac football this week, man. I got Maction. I need my winter grind. So anyway, thank you for looking out. But yes, I've got several liquor stores that I keep. Did you see what went on in the NFL this weekend? It was a lot of Super Bowl contenders, number one power ranked teams, going down in spectacular fashion. Just one of the Chiefs losing to the Bills. Matter of fact, that was a quality loss considering what some of these teams did, because they actually lost to a team that's currently the Super Bowl favorite on DraftKings. I don't think they are on FanDuel at this point. And an MVP candidate in Josh Allen. But no, the Lions lost to the Vikings at home. That's embarrassing. The Panthers go into Green Bay and beat the Packers. And I've long not believed in the Packers, especially when they lost to the Browns. It's like, how can I take them seriously? They tied the Cowboys. It was a tie. But then they lose to the Panthers. Now, you know what they'll do? They'll go in their next game, they'll win by 25, and people will be back on the Green Bay bandwagon. Can you really take yourself? Because really, when they made that Micah Parsons move, I was like, that's the move they needed to make to be a viable team. I like the receivers. I like that team. Matt LaFleur is a good coach. But come on, man. You've lost to the Browns and the Panthers. This is not like losing to the Bills and in Buffalo. No, the Lions, you lost at home to the Vikings. People thought you were the best team, despite what happened to you in Kansas City, where Kansas City rolled you. And now the Panthers, who are 5-4, by the way, the same record as the Chiefs, believe it or not, the Panthers win and beat the Packers. And the Chargers hold on to beat the Titans.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. In the case of the Lions, you know, the Lions lose to the Chiefs, and then the very next week, it seems like they get it back together. They pull themselves, pick up the pieces, and get it back together, and then they turn around and lose to the Vikings?
Yeah.
I mean, what is going on?
I don't get it. I got another text from a chili cook-off champion who's connected to the station. I'll have to explain that during the break, James. We have more into the competition. See, I love this because I'm a taster. Because if I brought it in, it would be a can of Wendy's chili.
Oh, you're the judge.
I'd absolutely be the judge, man.
Yeah, I got you.
If I did chili, honestly, it would be a can of Wendy's chili from Hy-Vee or Hormel chili. It'd be the canned stuff. It takes just a couple of minutes to warm up, right? But that's what it would be. Or I'd swing by a Wendy's and bring it in.
Yeah. Hey, look, for my baby shower for my son, we did a tailgate themed baby shower. I made chili dogs, right? Hormel chili, added some ground beef. Everyone there told me they loved it.
So you enhanced it.
I enhanced it. Just added a little bit of ground beef to it.
See, I enhanced the hell out of my Wendy's canned chili, right? Mm-hmm. I put some hot sauce in it. Still do the Fritos, some onions. You don't even know I bought it at the store. Well, actually, you probably would, but I don't know. Is that?
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, the Colts lost the Steelers 27-20 in a turnover-riddled game for them. And the Colts have been talking a lot of trash. They've been peacocking around a little bit, right? They want to be in that club so bad. That club that I think exists with the Chiefs, with the Bills. Oh, watch the Ravens come back and win their division. Now they took the ping pong tables out there. They're playing good football, right? And they made a trade today. And at least the Chiefs got the win over the Ravens. But that division is so up and down. I could see it making a run. It depends on what the Steelers do. But Steelers did take care of the Colts. They picked off Daniel Jones three times.
Yeah, it looked like they were really kind of turning the corner there because the Steelers' defense has been pretty shaky, pretty inconsistent, had some good games, had some bad games. They really showed up this last week when they needed to the most.
And the Colts lost two turnovers, too, two fumbles they lost. So five turnovers in that game. But, again, it's hard to know what's believable and what's not. But typically, I just go by the track record. It's like high school football teams. You know, it's probably going to be a good team if the coach, because coaches typically win, still win, and if you have a quarterback. And it's sometimes that simple. But which are the teams that want to be part of the club? Like, I thought the Jags really wanted to be it when they beat the Chiefs. But then they go and struggle against the Raiders and have to wait for Geno Smith to screw up at the end to get a win over the Raiders. Do they really want to be in that club or not?
Yeah, I
don't. Like, are you buying into these teams? Like, I'm waiting for Houston. I love what D'Amico Ryans is doing on the defense, but they've won, you know, playoffs the last 2 years. They've won playoff games. It's about taking the next step. The problem is these teams don't take the next step. They get there to the point, then they don't do it. The one that I don't think is going to be a team that falls off that's can continue to get better, but they got to prove it first, is the Patriots with Drake May and Mike Vrabel as head coach. I could see them taking steps. Like, this year isn't their year for prime time to be, you know, truly considered a Super Bowl contender. I do think they'll be in the playoffs, and I do think they won't be an easy out in the playoffs. But are they ready to be Super Bowl champions at this point? No. I think the Chiefs still prove they could be that team. The Bills definitely could be that team. The Ravens are just sad with all the injuries they had that they can't still be in that club. And then there's the Bengals. They were in that club. They faced the Chiefs twice in the AFC title game. They went to the Super Bowl, lost to the Rams. But with Burrow being hurt and collecting comeback player of the year awards every year, they're not there. They're not in the club. They're not there. I call it the adults table at Thanksgiving, right? They want to sit there. Right now it's the Chiefs chilling with the Bills, eating their turkey.
Yeah, and I don't think the Bengals even really belong in the club. Honestly, I don't think Joe Burrow's that good of a quarterback.
I disagree on that.
Well, this is where I say that. I've seen Jake Browning and I've seen Joe Flacco put up 40-plus points with the weapons that they have.
Oh, yeah, it's a good point because Flacco put over 400 yards on him.
That's exactly right. Just no defense. So if Joe Burrow was in the game besides those other two quarterbacks, would they have won those games? Because he still has to put up 50 points. They got one of the worst defenses in the history of the NFL.
Well, you know what's funny is, I guess it's really not funny. If there's one thing that I think goes under talked about with the Colts, we can laugh about the Colts losing the Steelers and all that, and Chiefs will get their chance at the Colts in a couple weeks. The one thing they have going for them is not Jonathan Taylor. It's not Daniel Jones. You know what it is? It's Lou Anarumo, the defensive coordinator. Because if there's one guy that found a recipe to kind of slow down the Chiefs, it was Lou when he was with the Bengals. Like, Lou did a good job. That defense wasn't that great, but against the Chiefs, it always was. Like, credit Lou for doing that. Well, now he's the Colts defensive coordinator because, stupidly, they got rid of him. And look at him. They're sitting there last in the league. But Lou's now with the Colts. So if they have one thing going for them that's kind of in a positive direction, it is that. And then, of course, it's the Chiefs and what they do on fourth down defense because everybody talks about the offense, 23.5% fourth down conversions against this team. So we'll see what happens. By the way, the Cardinals now up 16-7 on the Dallas Cowboys.
It's not looking good for you, bud.
Well, it's the deal. It's that trade, right? The Jerry Jones trade. He says he's made a trade today, and we don't know what it is. But to me, it was contingent on this game because his draft pick compensation going elsewhere or not even making the deal at all. But you make a deal and say, hey, we win this game. We go to 4-4. We'll do the trade. We'll send you a third. If you lose the game, it now becomes a higher pick. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens after this game. But anyway, the trade deadline coming up fast tomorrow at 3:00. Will the Chiefs make a move? Hell, they could make a move tonight. They can make a move in the middle of the night. Who cares? Who knows when it's going to happen? It's just going to happen when it happens.
Yeah, we've seen it before. We've seen late night transactions happen in the NFL, especially with Kansas City. So it very well could happen tonight. I think that we might go get some defensive line help. I hope.
Yeah. Calais Campbell's the guy that I want. Coming up next, though, since we looked at the contenders or pretenders, we'll look at the AFC West. Are you nervous about any of these teams or not nervous at all? We'll discuss it next. Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, James Howe producing the operation. 17-7 now. Jacoby Brissett, man, you can't hold him down. You can't do it. The journeyman quarterback's tearing you up in your own place. It's a long game. Football changes on a dime. We know that. But at this point, Jacoby Brissett's world. We're just living in it, right?
Dallas's defense is so bad.
It is. That's what trade deadlines are for. You know, they're to shore up your team.
That's right.
Make you feel good. A 68-yard attempt here. And we saw a 68-yard attempt from Cam Little yesterday. It
yes,
made it.
We did, yeah.
But we see these kickers are getting incredible, man. And it's no good.
To the left.
Head the distance, it looked like.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's usually pretty spot on, too.
So he's Dallas scored. Attempts a 68-yard field goal that did not make it. Even college kickers are good. Even high school kids are kicking like 50-yarders now, man.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, and that's just the evolution of sports, I guess, as technology gets better and skill sets get better, and here we are.
Well, Brandon Aubrey can make it, too. That's what, I was like, yeah, maybe this guy's got the distance. He's got the leg. He could get it done. But
honestly,
then,
I fully expected him to make that one. Yeah, that's how consistent he usually is.
Well, we have halftime of Monday Night Football. Brissett 15-22 for 158-1. Dak Prescott 8-16 for 75 yards. Here's the thing: who's watching this game? I don't have YouTube, but I know YouTube subscribers are very, very upset, and I don't blame them. These conflicts that happen with these TV networks and these streaming services or cable, whichever you have. Hurts the customer, man. Like, I feel it. YouTube people can't watch the broadcast. And then if you have the app on your phone, you can't get it because you subscribe to that. I know that when I have Spectrum, and I know when they had a little quarrel a couple years ago with ESPN, they took it off the app because it's linked through your cable company. Do you have YouTube?
I do not have YouTube TV, no.
But here's the thing I was telling people. I was like, go get some rabbit ears, man.
Yeah.
Stop by Walmart or something, get some rabbit ears because you can watch it on ABC.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I have. I have a pair of rabbit ears, and then I have my streaming services like Netflix and Hulu and stuff like that. But I'm not paying for cable TV like that.
But, yeah, just, you know, just simple things. Just go buy your rabbit ears if you want to. I know exactly. It's we're in 2025. You shouldn't have to use your rabbit ears with all these streaming services now, but do it. I don't like all the streaming services, to be honest with you. I detest them. When Spectrum had a fight with the ESPN there for a while, you don't realize like how many channels are associated with them. I guess ABC was pulled off of YouTube too, but at least we had that. But if and ABC's had some really good college football games this year, but they waited right until the game started for Missouri. They waited. They had the pregame show and everything. And as soon as the game started, boom. They cut it off. So I found myself at a local bar watching the games every weekend. And it's not the worst thing in the world. You think, all right, you're going to a bar to watch the games. It sounds like a good idea, right? But It does get old if you're there for 12 hours. Like, you can only eat so many nachos, drink so much beer before you're like, all right, enough of this. I just want to watch the game.
Yeah.
But they put all the games on, so it's great. But, man, I was just, you know, aching for the day of being back home and being able just to watch the games or something, but finally cooler heads prevailed. But I always had Amazon, so you get the Prime games. And it hadn't mattered with the Chiefs because they're, of course, they're going to be on local TV anyway if they're on YouTube or if they're on Amazon or if they're on what are the other ones? Peacock or whatever the show. But you're not seeing the other ones. Like, you're not getting the other ones. But, you know, I have them all now. You have to, man. You have to, because college football games on Peacock and everything, you have to. I hate it, man. I hate getting all these different things. It sucks, man. And it sucks bouncing in and out of those apps. Like, it's so much easier just taking the old remote and flipping right to the channel you want.
Yeah, nowadays.
Which is what cable provides, by the way.
They're spreading them out between several different apps. I mean, we've got games on HBO and on Sling and on Amazon. And it's just getting kind of crazy.
You know the app that I really like for football is, honestly, I do recommend it. It's the ESPN app for ESPN Plus and everything, because they show a million games and smaller colleges and everything else. But they're multi-view, and I know YouTube has the multi-view where you can watch, you know, four games at once or whatever. But the ESPN one is great because a lot of their games are on their properties, from ABC or ESPN, ESPN2, or SEC Network or whatever. All those games are available to you, so you can build up a great multi-view. It's actually, for football fans, it's a really nice thing.
Have you seen the Prime Vision on Amazon Prime for the Thursday night games? The Prime Vision, I think, if you haven't seen it, go watch it. That is the optimal way to watch football.
Oh, the Prime Vision? Yeah. Yes, 100%.
Yeah, with the
I was talking about that with Chris, because that's the way Chris watches it. I watch it, too.
Yeah, I love it. I think other stations need to at least offer it.
I agree with you. By the way, Neil and Lone Jack has chimed in again on the text line this time. And he was talking about Casey's. Probably has some smaller liquor bottles, like airline bottles, but that Phillips 66, he said, has full-blown liquor store. Hey, props to that, man. That's the way to go.
Yeah, you know, and they're probably making a killing right there. You know, if no other station, no other gas station is offering that, I mean.
You know what I've always liked is when I did high school football games, there would always be a spot, wherever you go to the high school game, there'd be that spot to go eat or whatever. There's a place out at Ray Peck Games. It was a interstate type gas station. I think it was a Pilot or something like that.
In Peculiar?
Yeah,
Peculiar. Yeah, it's a Flying J.
Flying J. It was Flying J. That's right, Flying J. And they had the best freaking roller burritos, man.
Mm-hmm.
I know it sounds weird, but they were like really good.
That's my stomping grounds. I went to Ray Peck and Belton.
Oh, did you go to Ray Peck?
Yeah.
I mean, if we had a Buc-ee's, man.
Oh, man.
I've known people who go to that place, and they love it.
I've never went to a Buc-ee's personally, but those things are massive, aren't they? They're huge.
I have those beaver bites or whatever they call them.
Yeah, they're good.
So yeah, the beaver nuggets or whatever. I don't know what they call them, but
yeah,
I've had those. They're good.
Okay.
But we don't have a Buc-ee's. I have to go to Springfield or whatever. I guess there's going to be one near here.
That's what I've heard, is that maybe in the Legends or something?
The Hy-Vee Fast and Fresh is really good, too, because it's not only just hot dogs, but it's Nathan's hot dogs.
Oh,
I mean, there's a difference.
Yeah.
Like, there's a real difference. That's what they eat on 4th of July.
Uh-huh.
Those are pure good hot dogs, man.
Those are the best. I like Nathan's, and I like Ballpark.
Yeah. Well, get some Nathan's in there. But regardless, 17-7, Cards over the Boys right now. Coming up next, though, let's talk about something that's done now, the World Series. Did you enjoy it or not? I found myself actually enjoying it next. Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, James Howell producing the operation. By the way, the AFC West this weekend, the Chargers hold on and beat the Titans 27-20. Again, this team, we'll see what happens without Joe Alt. You know, Chargers approved without their lineman. They'd already lost Rashawn Slater for the year. Joe Alt goes from right tackle over to left, had that high ankle sprain, was out a couple games, and they suffered because the offensive line was a mess. Herbert was getting hit a ton, and it was making a big difference. And then all of a sudden, he comes back. Trey Pipkins comes back. They beat the Minnesota Vikings, destroyed them. And now Alt, unfortunately, is gone for the year for them. It's a good dude, man. His dad played for the Chiefs, so yeah. The Broncos 18, the Texans 15. Hey, here's the deal with Denver. And I know they're not winning style points, but what has Chiefs football taught us in the past, James? Style points don't count, W's do.
That's all that really matters.
It's all that matters, because when you look back at the scores, you know, 10 years in the future, say, they won that game. It doesn't matter how they won. They just won. Like the Broncos, the blocked field goal last year for the Chiefs. Yeah, it goes down as a win. And whether you remember it was a block kick or not, who knows what happens in the future. But I think the one thing you can take away from it is they're finding a way to win them. in the clutch, when it counts, they're finding a way to win these games. And we've always said that about the Chiefs. They just find a way to win. Well, it's kind of what the Broncos are doing now, too. It's not about style points. It's about just winning. Hell, against Jacksonville or even the Bills, you would have taken a one-point win. You 100. Style points didn't matter. Just give you the win or the loss. That's the only thing that matters in the standings.
Yeah, and good teams, that's what they do. They find ways to win. I believe Nick Price mentioned it earlier at the beginning of the show. Sean Payton's a good coach. And now you're seeing the Broncos start to come away with some of these close victories because they're finding ways to win because they're coached well.
Well, the problem is you got a bunch of good coaches in the division because Pete Carroll is a good coach. Even though the Raiders are struggling right now, they lose in overtime to Jacksonville. But nice for them to actually find a way to win that one, but they found a way to lose it. But that's what the Raiders do. They find a way to lose at the end, where the Broncos are finding a way to win at the end. And the Chiefs, 0-4 in one-score games now after winning 17 in a row, are finding a way not to win these games. But Pete Carroll won two rings in college at USC, won a ring in the pros with Seattle. And then, of course, he lost a really close Super Bowl as well when they threw the interception out near the goal line. But, yeah, Sean Payton in the division makes a difference. And Harbaugh has won a national championship, so he's won at the highest level in college football. But I think that offensive line is going to be a bigger issue from the Chargers than what people think, because that offensive line is actually a mess. And we know how important having an offensive line is. We know how important that is because you can't facilitate your game plan when your quarterback's getting drilled all the time. They lose confidence. You lose confidence in your offensive line, you lose confidence in your offensive game plan and what you can do, because sitting there and waiting for a receiver to come open when they're not on the same page you are, you know, like a Kelce is and what Rashee Rice is to this point too, you don't have the confidence that they're going to make a break when they see it. Just like a couple games ago with Noah Gray. Yeah. Mahomes overthrew him and threw it to the end zone because that's where he expected Noah Gray to go, not run the exact route, which was taking him right into a safety. So you just expect them to maybe go and do something different. And that's what we have with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
You always expected. This week in the AFC West, the Raiders are at the Broncos. That'll be fun. Go Raiders in that one. Then Steelers at the Chargers. And then the Chiefs, of course, on the bye. Which is interesting. College game day. I don't know how big a college football fan you are, James, but I'm a huge one. So college game day is in Lubbock this weekend.
Sure.
There's only two top 25 matchups between two top 25 teams in college football this weekend. That's one of them. And who's their most famous alum? Mahomes. Who's got a bye week? Mahomes. What do they have a guest picker at the end? Maybe they've announced it. I haven't seen it announced. Kirk Herbstreit, I guess, had mentioned that they might go to Lubbock or whatever. And they did mention that, well, Mahomes has a bye week. I don't think he's committed to it. But Andy Reid, you know, he's an alum of BYU.
It surely looks like the stars are starting to align that we might see.
Well, the funny thing about it is Kyle Whittingham's the coach of Utah, and that's where game day was last week.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Whittingham was actually a college teammate of Andy Reid's at BYU.
Okay.
And Kyle Whittingham's kid's a defensive assistant with the Kansas City Chiefs. So there's a connection with Utah, and then, of course, there's a connection with BYU and Andy Reid. But the World Series ended, James. I know you watched every inning. You were glued to your TV. Is that right?
You know what? I did not watch a single inning of the World Series. I was just not interested in watching the Dodgers again.
And I know a lot of people are sick of the Dodgers. I mean, you're getting to this point now that they're starting to get the Chiefs treatment, I think, nationally. Well, their payroll is ridiculous. The Chiefs have
Chiefs
have the same payroll as everybody else, same salary cap.
Yeah.
The Dodgers spend everything. And don't feel bad for the Blue Jays either. I think their payroll is top five.
Yeah,
in Major League Baseball, so it is what it is. But it was fun. That Game 7 was awesome. That Game 7 had everything you wanted. It came down to it, you know, a play at home plate that didn't go the Blue Jays' way. That would have been really weird for a replay to overturn that and give a world title to a team in that game. But that 18-inning game was fun. That was the Chiefs and Commanders Monday Night Football game. Those games started at the same time. The Commanders had a flight delay, still made it to D.C., and right as they're getting ready to land, that game finally ended. That's how long that baseball game went. But regardless, it was still fun. Oh, and by the way, props to Bobby Witt Jr. for a second gold glove and Mikel Garcia with the gold glove as well. So props to those guys for getting that And I think the Royals will be in the playoffs next year. Let's cross that. Pitching staff's now backed it up after being good 2 years ago. They backed it up last year, and they were hurt all the time too.
Yeah, I think the Royals are just one of those teams that are trending in the right direction.
Oh, they are. Last year was a disappointment because, again, you got to put all the bats together. But certainly certain guys had really good years, like Vinny Pasquantino had a really good year for the Kansas City Royals. The Cardinals at about the 12-yard line looking in. I wonder what this is going to do to Jerry's trade. He said it's done. I guess Troy Aikman even said it before the game. Yeah, Jerry announces a trade. We just don't know who it is. It's the Cardinals and Trey McBride. Just scored another touchdown, and they are just kicking the Dallas Cowboys 23-7 at this point. Dallas, they won. They could have gone to 4-4. What sucks is our circa bet, we had Dallas Cowboys -2.5, so that sucks.
Yeah, I don't know if that one's going to hit there.
Yeah, I don't think so either, James, but par for the course. Anyway, thanks to you and all you do here, James. Really enjoyed the show tonight. Thanks to everybody listening. Don't forget Bob, Dusty, Mac, 5:58 in the morning. Good night.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with 3 key clean ingredients and backed by over 4 decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
What is Toyota affordability? It's buying smart. Right now, your local Toyota dealer has great deals available on some of the most reliable trucks on the market, like the off-road ready Tacoma, rugged full-size Tundra, and the legendary 4Runner, each with the space, tech, and features to handle it all, from the worksite to the trails. It means driving for less, with efficient hybrid options available, extending your overall driving range, and delivering great MPGs, meaning bigger savings at the pump without sacrificing power. And it means trading for more. The Tacoma and Tundra are ranked #1 and #2 in resale value over all vehicles according to Kelley Blue Book, which can mean thousands more than average when it's time to trade in. That's Toyota affordability. Buy smart, drive for less, and trade for more. Shop Toyota.com or your local dealer for deals and details. Vehicles projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit KellyBlueBooksKBB.com. Toyota brand average resale value is 53% versus the average vehicle at 45%. Toyota, let's go places.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!